Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcast on the practicalities of science communication, where I'm at the moment. So at the moment I've producing these long YouTubes, and there's sort of blank sections in them, and there's parts of voice with no images with it, and it's things that are repeated, and it really is this, sort of a YouTube video sketchbook, which I'm trying to get out there. And I've sort of been cursed as this conglomerate of poorly edited stuff goes up to 40 minutes an hour of explanations. So it's over-explained, and we're trying to remove or improve from the broad thing rather than actually putting something up, putting everything up, and issuing it in the cycle to people. So this is not for the general public. This is for friends and stuff to look through it and make sort of partial comments. And it's a huge effort. Now, what's happened, unfortunately, is that the camera I take takes beautiful pictures, and these very high fraction of a gigabyte files, many megabytes of files, go into the picture of just nothing much, in particular me talking and stuff like that. And then the Camstasia, the rendering or video editing program, which is really necessary because it allows you to chop and put and condense stuff. So what this does is it's just basically a script file, a WYSIWYG script file generator. So it generates a series of commands which detects certain levels of editing. I've got about 5 minutes to wait before this waste store. Sorry, I'm in the up the top of the mountain, 1,200 meters above sea level. That's sort of nothing compared to places overseas, but this is what we consider the top of the mountain. There's a paint recycling section up here, which opens at 8, and it's 5 to 8, so I'm waiting for that to happen. But this general idea is sort of like your artist's sketchbook. And I realise as I read about things that we live in a digital age, we want to walk up, photograph, and move on. Whereas the artists of old used to paint something, may take months to paint something to where they want it, to compose it the way they want to, or they will study something and paint it again hundreds of times in different lights to get exactly what they wanted. Now, this is somewhere between there in terms of it's more a artist's canvas where I'm slapping things on and moving them about the place. And there's a sort of a bit of an issue here in terms of the philosophy of composition. So one of the things I did in this YouTube is take a children's version of explanation and just take it apart, sort of stop it at different points in time. And you realise here that the aim here, they've got a different set of parameters. They want to simplify it such that people can walk away satisfied, which is great because if you want to have people walk away satisfied. But nature's a little bit more complicated than that. And so there's more aspects to it. So they're very much what I call declarative knowledge. So I declare the name for this is that. And can you repeat that? Yes, it's great. It's sort of like you're training a chimp or a parrot or something like that, rather than the more subtle aspects. And it's sort of hard to see that idea of a painter's canvas and things coming across and different models and metaphors going in the same canvas and moving together and composing a composition of different models, rather than just a simple pop art. Yeah, really, really a lot of the science communication is the pop art. It's a sort of glarishness, and there's one aspect that wants to be communicated. Now, what I'm going to do is I'll come back in about 5 minutes time, I think. Oh yeah, I've got a bit, I'll wait a few more minutes on. So this must be very frustrating to listen. Now, one of the great things is that as I'm being having to slop down, I listen to things and I've adjusted the podcast to improve. But yeah, in general, hopefully this is a better podcast volume. Sort of should be less noise and stuff like that. You've got the idea of a simple poster as opposed to an artist's canvas where you've got different concepts and they go for different amounts. And until you actually walk in the shoes of someone like Einstein, or that is, read his papers, do research similar to it, and actually get into deep things, it's very easy to, because Einstein's almost a pop art, you know, he's one extreme. As soon as you say Einstein, everyone's got an image of a genius and a time of history and sayings and wisdom and stuff like that. But he himself, he described, and I wish I could find this quote, these things you read, you say, oh, I really want to have that. He said that he imagines all different theories raining down. It's a rain of different theories coming down, and he winnows it out. He goes through. Now, he is an actual fact. Einstein is an actual fact, a rationalist, that is. Now, it's interesting that there's a sort of many different parts. There's people, a rationalist can actually achieve things by pure thought, whereas an experimentalist requires to do an experiment to see what the real world is, to think. A rationalist, I suppose, uses deductive, very advanced deductive logic. Einstein himself used deduction and induction. So induction is where you have a hypothesis, you think of something. And so he sort of applied so much effort to thinking that he combined rationalism, which is your sort of legal argument behind something, the consistency of a deduction, and he proposed he used induction on rationalism, which is coming across here. Now I'll now finish my time now. I'll continue this as I'm driving along. I don't know what sort of podcast this will sound like. Continuing this podcast, I've just gone in, returned about 6 cans of empty paint to the Katoomba tip. Now, this is a fantastic tip. It's sort of old world, 1970s sort of technology. It's sort of been set up for a fair while. But what's great about it is this fantastic mountain view from this tip. You know, this, and everyone's relaxed and happy. It's just pretty amazing. Place at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's 8:15. So it's taken me quarter of an hour just to drop off these small paints. Now we're talking about communication, and there's sort of to me a conflict between communication. This is an interesting place where whatever's happening here, rehab, almost the hospital, Katoomba Hospital. It's all coming to me at this point in time. Just checking how this goes here. Alright, so I'm just a bit unused to how this all operates. So I'm getting back onto the freeway. We're talking about conflict between thought and communication. So necessarily the art of communication is to keep it simple, fast, quick, and communication is very much built up in the power system. So when I say power system, I have a personal power. People have power over me. I'm in a society. And for that power system, it just can't exist in a vacuum. It's got to actually be actively operated. It's got to have a system around it. It's got to have a communication system around it. So people have to communicate to me quickly and effectively and on the time. So they've got to communicate to me with certainty and shortness. And they've got to say, I'm more powerful than you, and I want you to do this. Now, if they can't actually get me to, like the two aspects of power, or two effectiveness of power, there is no point having power over someone if they're ineffective. And they're ineffective if they can't understand you, respond and do all these things in a short period of time. Now, unfortunately, nature is much more deep and is irresponsive to human power thought. And the idea is that a lot of things that require deep thought require rationalism, which requires a deep look at things, where you don't take the information as power communication. You take information as a paintbrush, a suggestion paintbrush, which the image is not there yet. You're going to build it up. And interestingly enough, that there was initially, I think the way that I would put it, initially there was only power, and then people have power on it. Then people began to use rationalism, and deductive logic to make some sort of sense of things, to order things. So basically, deductive logic is about organizing your sock drawer, and inductive logic is actually buying yarn or working and buying a new sock for that sock drawer. And so that new sock will rearrange the new socks you drive, will rearrange things. So you've got this period of things. And so this inductive logic that we use is very much different from how things operate. I'm just going to have to pop in here, and I'll be back talking to you again. Hopefully it'll be a reasonable podcast. I'm sorry about this. This is the way it goes. I've got to keep on popping it out. Hello, back driving again as I'm getting back, hoping not to smash into this Mini, which is coming up to the right. Even though I've got an impatient car behind me. Oops, here we come around. We're talking about the people are conditioned to have emotional reactions to communication and thought, and they're conditioned in a sort of power structure. So this is where they can give a command over someone and get something, or they can be commanded themselves and do something. What are you having? I hope you're not beeping me for some reason. What? Oh gosh, just come off it. It's a big four-wheel drive with a beep in there. I don't know whether you can actually hear the beep in the recording, but I think it's all okay. It's, we're going down Lura Mall at this point in time. So it's nothing too fast. There's no point in going too fast, and everyone's having to wait at various points and times. You've got sort of a mixed problem. One is a psychological barrier, and one is a practical barrier. The psychological barrier is it's almost like an ignorance of convenience, a mutually agreed ignorance that we, as a society, are going to be ignorant of high dimensions in our space. We're going to be ignorant of spin. Anything which is slightly complex, we're going to be ignorant of it because it's just too hard. Because we've got more important things to do. We've got more important things to do. We've got important people to order around, and we can extract value. We are valuable because we can be ordered around ourselves. So we're just coming down here and seeing how this goes. So there's a psychological urgency of communication. You know, you tell me now, or I'll get upset, or, you know, this is what we teach, and all that sort of. And then, as opposed to that, you've got rationalism, where people sort of really stop, pause, and think. And rationalism by itself is not valuable. So I just really want to pick on this. It's just not that spin is hard to understand or anything like that. This is quantum physics is hard to understand. We are existing in a society where there is a convention, of ignorance. It is acceptable for everyone to be ignorant of quantum physics. I think that might be the story. Definitely, for sure. As a quantum physicist, coming along, understanding quantum physics, you walk out, you know, you look up from your book, and you realize that no one in the room, no one for a square kilometer around you, has the faintest idea or care as to these basic things. And that's sort of a psychological cultural barrier. So it's a cultural barrier. Is we have established that the Pax Romanus, the rule of law, the rule of ignorance, is that we don't. Oh, there we go. Simply present. Make sure everything's okay. I just have to watch the traffic here a little bit as I come down. 8:30. Still, people shouldn't be going to work. People up this far up the mountains, there's no way they can get to work on the time. So I don't understand what the traffic is. I can imagine that four-wheel drive behind me being a bit pissed off because it wants to definitely get there, whereas I'm just cautiously going around things, looking at them. There is this acceptable, lovable ignorance. And it's the... you see it in terms of people like George W. Bush, because he was ignorant and people can relate to it. It's there's something, certain amount of security with someone who is ignorant. There is this thing where you don't know what to do. So there's this block, I think. People, when they come across it, don't want to deal with things. So essentially, if I can talk about it in sort of a practical point of time, you can think of, this is from another aspect, that spin out, spin up, and spin out, spin down is like right side out or inside out undies or socks. We can just a slow write down here. That is a symmetry in space, and that's okay. It's just that what I'm telling you is that if I have one sock and I pull another one inside out sock, I can actually push the two socks through each other and they take up the volume and space of one sock. This is true. This is true for helium, and it's true for all this physics, all the physics and chemistry that you want to deal with. This is the fact. So we've got a contradiction between the usefulness of things and the conventional ignorance. Like, conventional ignorance is held by convention, supported by culture and society. And it's not necessarily, ignorance is not necessarily well thought out. Evidently so, because at the end of the day, it doesn't give you the correct tools. And so there's a certain preference for, there's a certain preference for making, being ignorant. It's this sort of a lovability, and there's a a range of tools of ignorance, which is flog a model till it's dead and stupid, and then just leave people with it, saying other people. If you look at the anatomy of ignorance, there's that. And I really do think when you go into education, you are having a big tour of the anatomy of ignorance. So there's this cultural way, and you have to sort of signpost that we're not going with an individual model, which you're traditionally used to, and today you're not going to feel this power, I'm a great person because I understand it. It'll only get you part of the way. So some things are not just get out of the car, go for a bushwalk, come back. There's some multiple day hikes in life. There's some endeavors which are not one step at a time unfold, that they are long-term endeavors. I just have to say that. So the real approach of Einstein and stuff like that is to take multiple models, realizes that they're not the full story, and build up a picture based on fragments of models to put it together, like a picture. So you build up a picture on the canvas of fragments, and the fragments come together, and you try and emphasize the parts of the fragments which help you get it work. So there's that approach there. Then at the end of the day, there's this practicality of you have a big topic, and it will take an hour. It's taking me an hour to actually go through and actually dissect a children's program, to do the history of it, then start to describe what spin is. It's actually taking a fair amount of time. And there is a superstructure there of the culture or preference, ignorance, cultural ignorance preference, CIP, KIP, cultural ignorance preference, in that this is what we like. We like these particular ideas, and we like the ideas serve this particular way. It's sort of like people eating fast food. They will only eat at McDonald's. It has to be fried, doesn't it? It has to have sugar in it. As opposed to people who travel around to wineries and have wine and cheese. It takes a lot longer time. There's a lot more life involved in it to go across. So one of the things that I'm realizing here, the epiphany, is that to actually unpack this, there's going to be multiple miniature episodes to go through, and a miniature episode which is linked together, where you actually just deal with one section of it. Now, this actually gets me around one point of breaking it up into chapters. And why wasn't this really obvious? Because I think to start off with, people have had the view everything should be simple. So it's so people can only think of in terms of simple straight roads, and you've got when you actually get out down on the ground, there's a road, an overpass, a viaduct, a bridge, a tunnel. All these things have to be connected up, and the problem is that the tour bus companies, people who want to give you a Kentucky tour of things, and that's a perfect example. We are sort of living with Kentucky tours or fun, happy tours, where the main aspect is not the scenery. Kentucky, if you go on a Kentucky tour, these 30-year-olds, you can't be over 30, And basically, it's where you go and meet your... It's to pash off with the people, I think, essentially. So the... A lot of knowledge for a majority of people is not in itself important. I'm just trying to think of the idea of a surgeon being a famous and revered person. We think that, or we think of an inventor. We don't think of the invention, we think of the inventor and how the inventor is handled. We're still very much in that limited space. So really coming out, or sort of thinking through this, there's two aspects of strategies. One is the compositional canvas, to say that you are working on a compositional canvas, and it is a big canvas, but rather than actually trying to build a big canvas, you're doing those tripages, those things where there's typically three little paintings put together. To compose. And look, there's these two two aspects of it, and that is to get the composition dynamics correct. So the composition dynamics is rationalism, components of a model coming together, and context that the you are talking in against cultural power ignorance, I think might be it. Culturally contextualized ignorance, that your ignorance is in a cultural context, that your ignorance makes you valuable. So if you want to get a soldier to go over the hill and bash someone up, you replace his values with a uniform. You put him in a uniform, and he says, and by wearing uniform, you say all people wearing that uniform behave this way, and therefore they say, okay, well, I'll behave that way as well, which is part of the process. And so, for instance, I mean, military and political exercises are huge examples of culturally enabled ignorance or structured. So the ignorance is not just by itself. If you're ignorant, you'll just wander away from it. There's got to be a feedback loop where the ignorance that you have, the beliefs that you hold, reinforce who you are and how you operate and how efficiently you operate. So it's sort of hard to say. Now, the internet does certain things, but when I'm looking at the internet on this, these things, there is this flood of really low-quality, unsorted information, and information which you get, which is really contaminated with this cultural mechanism that you've got for it. So I'm just really thinking of the two puppet episode, and I'll do it. So there's this episode which we looked at, slow right down here, another school zone. Amazing number of schools. This is a major highway. Well, this is the only highway across the Blue Mountains. There's one about 50 kilometres further north. And this is called the Great Western Highway, and everything's aligned on this one road. So militarily, this would be an easy place to go up. So society operates on people being... Ignorance is a way of You credential someone's ignorance, that they will know only this and operate in certain ways. But because they are ignorant, they become interdependent on other people. They suddenly can't do their own plumbing or anything. They can't solve their own problems. They have to get people to come over and do things. And often the things that they do, when you really think of it rationally, don't have to be done that way. They can be done differently. But it's a way of distributing wealth. So there's many, many aspects to this pan-cultural ignorance leading to this perception. And so you've got to move across. So you've got this ignorance preference for this dealing as model, literal dealing of model. So, I mean, people sort of, I don't know, can have a picture of a plaster picture of Christ or the Virgin Mary doing all these various things with the arms. Arms aside and little porcelain hands and stuff like that. And people can actually pray to that. They somehow believe that the power of God or whatever it is actually in the model. And this is a really fundamental thing. People, at a certain point, have this relic idea, the sacred relics that in the Middle Ages, they actually believed that inside the box was a part of the saint. Therefore, it was holy and it had a magical power. And similarly, we have this relic view of individuals and celebrities that we worship, we do a pilgrimage to it. So we've got all that history, and that's one aspect of it that I'm trying to do, that I've suddenly have to, I want to explain something. It's a long distance away from the culturally improved, ignorance. The other aspect of it is that the complexity of work means that although the strategy of producing videos for long structured videos together, that sort of strategy is impractical simply because it produces such long, huge computer files that will just suck up. I've got, gigabytes to burn, of course. I think I'll be running out of them soon. My hard drive, my solid-state hard drive. And essentially, there's this long lead time. It's taking 3 hours, an hour or so to compile, and it used to be 2 hours to upload. Now I've sort of, hopefully I've trimmed it down so it'll take less time to upload. But nonetheless, it's something, it's low value upload. It's these things which are sort of overwhelming, an hour to go through. And obviously people are set to, if something's missing, no one's going to sit through it. So the idea is to break it up into little bits. And produce it. And, for what is necessary is the, I've got to have sort of a plan. So I'm going to move from the large, at the moment they're heading up to an hour episode of linked together. And the links have to be removed from there and given an overall context to it. So there's a frame and a theme and a logic. And I've got to get that story correct as a packaging. So the frame of everything sits together. So these ideas sit together. So I can do, I'll do a small episode of taking apart a children's program, one. A small episode on the origin of life chapters. This is, I think, what you have in books and textbooks. Things are broken up into chapters. And I don't know whether people have investment. Now, there's this very similar thing to it. I'm doing projects, just breaking up projects, a series of projects. Communication, well, this is an example of working on the communication of, the communication is my own personal problems, but there's also mirrored communication problems to get ideas from A to B. So I've got my own personal brain rehabilitation problems to get across, but there's also the problems that what I want to communicate is fundamentally of a different dimension as to what can be, it's actually outside the capacity of my local culture to achieve. Now, to say it's outside the capacity, I think what we have, we've generated these, what would be Ferraris of intellectual people. These people can pick up ideas, communicate them, that you, we've given people basically a mobile phone, interconnections and stuff like that. It means that they are very, very good at controlling, listing power, organizing things, communicating, very, very high powered things. But they're basically Ferraris. And essentially what I'm trying to do, so everyone, I mean, in this world of Ferrari things, people are really quick. They don't have a lot of time. They've got a high fuel need. They need to be, and they need to get around the racetrack really quickly. Whereas I'm really talking about going out into a field and ploughing a field. It's unknown. I've got to get seeds. I'm sort of interested not in progressing through knowledge from point A to point B to win a race. I'm interested in working the soil, planting the knowledge, and so I'm really a tractor across there. Now, in terms of communication, everything is linked across there. So it's this two-point thing. One is to actually understand my own my own communication problems, but also adapt. So the communication problems across there. So projects, communications, skills, and that just takes a little bit of while to go up. So in terms of skills, I'm learning the new skills of the Arduino boards and the Raspberry Pis and the next generation things, and clicking through what online courses I'll do to go up, and of course the health aspect, that is to get the weight down. And this is, well, I've got to get my weight up. I've got to lose 10 kilos, which I'm finally getting the discipline. I'm no longer having any sugar in my tea and limiting my breakfast to a very small breakfast and limiting my lunch to almost not having a lunch. So it's really hard. Across, I'll get across there, and doing heaps of exercises. Somehow, I just really hope I can knock this over. Now, one of the most fundamental things is that people in this Ferrari communication age don't have to worry about building a Ferrari or building the racetrack, or is by actually understanding the context, social context. Their ability to understand social context means that they can cut down and optimize their thought for their social effectiveness. And they can get as far as they want. They can get, accumulate wealth and do all the various things, have power. All the things that they're told are valuable to them, they can do really relatively quickly. I'm just going to increase the air conditioning here. Another school zone coming up. We are getting home, I think, eventually. Just got to remember where I'm through. Oh, we're up at Falcon Bridge. We're not far from home. Yeah. And so it's taken me a while to step back and say, oh, well, everyone's got a concept of rebuilding a Ferrari race car, and basically I'm a tractor, and there's no mechanic here. I've actually got to rebuild myself, and so that rebuild yourself is like any project. You've got a concept. I've got my own self together as a concept prototype. I'm actually building little sections together as a concept prototype and actually putting them together, and then putting it together as a system. And the system myself going through is this 4-level system. I began with 1 and then 2, then 3, and then for completeness, just looking at things, it's 4. And that's projects, sort of scientific projects that you work on. And the idea of scientific projects is that it's a learning experience. It's a challenge. And so there's certain aspects of it that if it doesn't work, it will teach you by not working. That's basically, I think that's the sort of fundamental flaw that if you do something you know work and it makes it work, so that's a practice. You're practicing what you've learned, but what you have already learned. But to learn new things, you've got to actually challenge yourself. So these projects, I pretty well won't engage with it unless I think ahead of time, look, I quite honestly don't have the skill to this. I don't know what to do. I will have to actually work. So the projects provide some process for it. Now, communication seems to be a major point in time. This is converting that project into socially meaningful value. I don't know what you could call it. It's called, I suppose marketing might be one aspect of it. So you produce a widget and then you have to actually communicate and put it in. It's just part of the process to actually guide your research and development. So it's like if you break off your research and development from marketing, you'll be researching what you want. It's the marketing sort of brings it back. So communication is one component of it. And then finally, the skills aspect of it. Again, skills is, it's all together. It's sort of like there's a skill of, the skill that I need to develop is informed by the projects. So the skills, I sort of need to develop 2 levels of skills. One is observable skills from the outside to get me across. So just looking at what's available from the education department. And then there's like practical skills to actually get it across. So there's these free online courses which I'll look at. And of course, health aspect of it is, I think, part of the discipline. I suppose I am healthier from having a structured thought rather than just, you know, being a victim on a battlefield, like that, in terms of, and that's basically if people do want people to be victims on a battlefield, because then they could say the person's moaning, they're not producing, therefore I'm right. That sort of thing. So I've got to all link it together. For me, the health aspect hasn't actually really linked in with those 3 other aspects. So just to really summarize it. Oh, shoot. So I'm just going to let this bus in front of me. Good move. You're greater than me. I suppose the bus can't. If I was a bus driver, I wouldn't try. I could not possibly be a bus driver. So it's the real aim is to put all these things together, and it's just so typical that the sort of overarching idea of a concept prototype, then production beta prototype as a path to get up there, seems to be the path that's really necessary on a major, development. So this is, if you've got a new idea, a really new concept, and you're not in Silicon Valley or something like that, and in general people are going to listen to you, you have to actually build a concept prototype, actually build it out there in front of, so that people can relate to it and see it. And when you're building a concept prototype, you obviously, a lot of the time, if it's complicated and hard to do, you can't do it first time. Some of the time there's a piece of circuitry you don't have, and you just have to put a box there and say, this is a circuitry that will be here, and let's pretend it does this next section. And so you build this concept prototype, and then this will cause that, and that's what I want to see. And it allows you to do it. And so really, pulling back, I've got sort of the same research discipline of concept prototype to pull these things together. And the value of a concept prototype is that it really puts the actual components together. And this is what I'm doing here with the communication. It's interesting to see the flow of different strategies, but they're all pulled together by the same requirement, in that a rehab requirement of a research scientist is actually extremely high, because what happens is that to make anything unusual work in society, we create an unusual environment for it. So if we want a doctor to do surgery, we put them in a hospital, we put them in a theatre room, we do all this around. Now, once we say, look, you can't do that because of this aspect, you suddenly, say you may have a tremor or something, you're put out, even though you've got a whole heap of skills to go, you're put out of that overall system. Similarly, if you have something to sell, you're in a shopping centre, you have all these structures around you to do it. So research scientist is that you have to do two aspects: is to actually build the actual internal capability, but you've also got to rehab the external capability, the external the fabric for which that goes across. So it's not, you not only have to germinate the seed, you have to prepare the soil and the watering system for it to bud up, because you're no longer a seed being put into a seed bank to be harvested by society. The fundamental aspect is that you can get support by actually growing together with society, but you become detached, and so you have to go through all this long-range effort. And I suppose the art is to actually process what's the challenges in a constructive way. It's, I don't know, it's sort of like climbing a cliff, a rock climb. You have to actually look for a long distance up to actually plan your path up, and you have to plan your path up knowing the capability of it and what can be done. So there's a big difference from the idea that if you can take a risk, you can fall, you can take all this risk. But if you're there by yourself, basically with bare hands, and you've got to climb this sort of cliff face, you've got to plan your way forward, and think deep and strategically. So the point is to actually get some, as I've got a strategic plan of these four aspects of it, I've also got to get a strategic plan for, to work within the communication, to sort of explain one aspect of why I'm looking at different theories, why this is so, how this fits into a bigger story to get the bigger narrative. And you see this on TV when they're doing series. They have a small amount of content and a lot of reasons why they're doing it, approaches how we're doing it. And I really will have to write that down. So the reason, the approach, and all things like that. Now, there's just a little car up in front of me. They've had their back window smashed in. And I must admit, it's been years since I've seen any decayed car. So it's hard to say. Australia, for a while we had protection of our own car industry, we had basically one of the oldest car fleets. We were quite like Cuba, but we had a fair amount of old cars on the road. And it was fun. Can I say a little bit of fun? There was a bit of noise here, a bit of smoky, things breaking up. Nowadays, I don't see any dirt on cars. This is one of the things. I still have a dirty car because I haven't really gone with the times. And you don't see a panel on the car. Well, you don't see bumper stickers. No more bumpers. And all these different things. And it just is probably an example here is that everyone now, their value is driving the car from point A to point B and being able to know a mechanic. People actually don't do their own mechanics fits and they don't listen to their car too. So a lot of people, when I hear, I've heard people drive their car into the ground. Someone who had a car had an obvious problem and they just drove it till they destroyed it. And then there's someone else who had a combi van and they had a post-it note and they put the post-it note to remind them what to do over the temperature gauge of their combi van. Of course, the husband said, well, how come you didn't see it? And then he went in and there was the post-it note reminding them to do something perfectly nice. Now, you can be angry, and this person wasn't angry. They just sort of just let it, it's all through it. But this is very much what people do. There's culturally educated ignorance, and then there's sort of lovable ignorance to go across. But nonetheless, there's ignorance which are leading us to avoid knowledge. So this is a general plot I'm going across. So I'm going to work on two new things. One is the packaging. The packaging of these ideas and the dicing of these ideas to make it A, digestible and B, producible. And this is, again, in that communication segment. There's for me to work on the communication. And it's very easy for people to actually, look up a course, give advice for it. But they're working within a framework of this culturally agreed ignorance. CAI. Or I like CIA. Cultural ignorance agreement. That is that. Oh, here it's a bird. Oh, this is beautiful. I love it. Oh, I don't know. I find it. I just think it's absolutely. There's a sort of an airport thing. Again, there is this absolute joy, people having power over other people, the people who are able to get the airport in Western Sydney. So this is it's the doom for me. I did have the thought that, oh my God, the world is just going to a toilet. So we've got a national park and they're going to build an airport. It's going to be aircraft just going all over it. And the idea of logic and the idea of saying no, you can't do it. it's just a matter of having power over people and ensuring how it goes. Now, hopefully it's 9:10, a bit of a push, a long go to go up here. So I got, fortunately I got my son on time. So I'll may put this podcast up. I've got some more podcasts to get up and going. But in general, it's the most amazing process here. So what's happened so far is that hopefully my podcasting skills improving a little bit. The production is improving a little bit. But what's also improving is the actual podcast process is I'm having a sort of solo job, rehabilitation. Okay, if I can say, there is nothing more lonely than a stroke. And I've spoken to a few blokes with strokes, and it is such a lonely thing because you're suddenly, people don't know how to handle you, and there's also this sort of like charity. You're like, oh God. So it's absolutely chock-a-block. So that's an Australian phone, absolutely full. There is a nominal space for my car in the front there, but it's not going to go. Okay, look, thanks a lot, and I'll get this out. And I know this is not the best podcast, but we'll get there. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.